Pat Buvalla Show on 720 WGN. Well, we've been talking about President Trump and the media and President Trump and everything. There's always lots to talk about right now. I don't know if we can sustain this for the next 4 years, but we will at least for the next half segment of this show. Professor Jeffrey McCall has been on the show many times throughout the debates and everything else. He's a professor of media studies at DePauw University. Hey, Professor McCall, thanks for jumping back on the phone with us.
You're welcome. Great to be with you.
Well, this has been an interesting few weeks. You and I haven't talked, I don't think, since President Trump took office. Isn't this our first time since the inauguration?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. Okay. So lots happened. And it's just more and more interesting every week. We could talk for the next 3 hours about everything that's gone on just with Trump and the media. But there's a few things I definitely want to ask you about as a professor of media studies. One is, and let's not jump on President Trump here for a second, because I've been doing a lot of that, and he's earning a lot of that. But let me ask you about the media and how the media is reacting to the way President Trump is, I will say, trying to control them, because he's trying to control what he has to answer in the messages. Now, when he did this big press conference on Thursday, that was really, to me, the first freewheeling, everybody gets a chance to get a bite at the meat opportunity. He was calling on people, but previously, he'd had a couple of press conferences, what they call two and twos, with Trudeau and I guess with Netanyahu, and I think one previous one, where he was very specifically, when he was asking, calling on two reporters, they were not from ABC or Reuters or the AP. They were from a Christian television network or a somewhat obscure conservative-leaning blog. He was definitely calling on people who the rest of the media would judge are going to ask much easier, more friendly questions to President Trump. And the media has, it's the first time I have ever, and maybe it's happened in the past, but the first time in my lifetime that I've paid attention to this, that I've actually heard the media talking about the media in the way that the media is covering themselves here, because I know that they're talking about who's at, and it's the first time I've ever seen it written about or heard about on television, who the president is allowing to ask the questions. That's become a story in and of itself. Is the media overreacting to that? Should they not be surprised at all that President Trump, especially because he has been, you know, ornery towards the media, has called them the opposition party. He really has made it clear that he believes they're delivering fake news and all these things. Should the media be surprised or fighting back in the way that they have? I know that, you know, there was an incident where somebody from CNN, I think this was very early on when he called CNN fake news, he was telling the president, "That's inappropriate, sir." That was something I'd never heard a reporter say to a president. There's been a lot of stuff that's gone on here. So what do you think? We talk a lot about President Trump and what he's doing. What do you think about the media's reaction to the way he's handling them?
It's been just amazing to observe this whole process over the last several weeks. And I do think the media has some legitimate concern here in that Trump is battling them in ways that probably don't serve the interests of the nation. But the media should not be surprised that Trump is coming after them. He did that all through the campaign, and I don't think they should be surprised that he's going to do that continuing going forward. Now, I'm not sure that it's necessarily that good of a process for somebody trying to run the country to also be battling the media at the same time. But the media should not be surprised, and frankly, I think the media needs to reel themselves in a little bit and to figure out that this is not all about them. And they shouldn't be surprised that Trump is dealing with them in such a rough fashion. And frankly, the media's frenzy in response to the Trump attacks, in a sense, plays into Trump's hands, because the media then ends up talking about itself all the time and not the bigger stories. And the Trump media story is kind of fascinating and dramatic, but it's not as big a story as Trump and international relations, and it's not as big a story as Trump maybe managing the economy or getting his cabinet appointments through or some of the other things. So I do think the media have a point, but I think they've exaggerated their own importance in responding to Trump's attacks.
I'm going to actually agree with you on that, even as part of the, in my little small way, a part of the media here. I've been a little surprised. Now, I do think it's legitimate to talk about who he's calling on for questions and how he's trying to control it. But the offense they're taking at it, I mean, listen, it's offensive when he's calling out reporters by name, when he's calling them fake news. All of those things I agree with. But they're making such a, I guess they're so acting slighted sometimes. And I know this is a president calling out media. It's never happened this way before. But I don't think that they should make that the story. They should then go harder after Russia and everything else. I think you're right. I think in some ways, this again is President Trump playing the media as well as admonishing them, because now he gets them to focus on how they're all upset at the way he's treating them. And Russia kind of falls back. And, you know, the way he just turns every question into whatever he wants to answer, I think he's doing a good job in some ways of distracting them and making other stories stories when there's other things, of course, that they could be chasing down.
Yeah, he has distracted the media from what should be their main role, and that is covering the news. And when you get really get down to it, in terms of the news agenda, the Trump media relations would be pretty far down on that list. Now, it's also worth noting here that over the years, there have been a lot of presidents who have not appreciated the media and done battle with them. It hasn't been as much all-out warfare as we see with Trump, and the presidents over the years have not necessarily blasted them in public, or they've allowed their surrogates to do it in other ways. But, I mean, let's face it, Richard Nixon had a terrible relationship with the media. And, you know, he sent out Spiro Agnew, his vice president, to criticize the media. But Nixon kept an enemies list that included many media people right on it. And even going way back, John Adams, as president of the United States, signed into law the Sedition Acts, which made it illegal for reporters to criticize the sitting government. And, in fact, 24 journalists in that era were arrested and prosecuted for criticizing the government. So, I mean, this goes way back. And interestingly, Thomas Jefferson, who we like to think is the great supporter of the free press and the First Amendment, used a good part of his second inaugural address to criticize the press and blast them as what he called the artillery of the press. So, I mean, this goes way back. And, you know, Harry Truman didn't have a good relationship with the press. Lyndon Johnson didn't either. So, I mean, this is not surprising that the media and the press, or the press and the president don't get along. It is surprising, though, that Trump wants to take them on so publicly. And again, that's probably not that helpful. But I think the media just is at some point going to have to get tougher. And the fact that Trump had this long press conference on Thursday, in which he did really call on a lot of different kinds of people, mm-hmm. including reporters who were not friendly to him, at least says that he's going to engage them at some point. And that the complaints of, like, always only calling on people who are going to ask him softball questions, that does go out the door a little bit. But let's face it, President Obama, when he ran press conferences, called on people who were generally sympathetic to him. And the other thing about Trump versus Obama in press conferences, Trump got to a lot of questions on Thursday. And that was surprising, because President Obama's style was to ask, or was to answer only a few questions and then kind of filibuster and give really long 10, 12-minute answers,
right,
and to kind of run out the clock on a press conference, whereas Trump kept the pace going, more like a reality TV show, if you know what I mean.
Well, it is a reality TV show, isn't it? First of all, let's go back to the Sedition Acts and Thomas Jefferson and everything like that. So I don't know my history, and I don't know enough about those times and why those presidents had problems with the media. But I'm going to guess that if we looked at those incidents and looked at today, it would be very different stories.
They're different contexts, sure. And also, the media in that era was much more obviously partisan, and the thought of having an objective press was, you know, nowhere to be heard in the late 1700s, early 1800s. But on the other hand, I think, and this is what I think rubs Trump, is that presumably we've created a culture where we expect an objective press, and he senses, as do many of the citizens in the nation, that the press is not trying to be objective. And if you look at the polling done from legitimate organizations like Gallup, press credibility has declined, you know, 15 to 20 percentage points in just the last decade and a half. And so that's why Trump can pull this off. Trump could not pull these attacks on the media off if the American public had full confidence in the press to do its job objectively and fairly. And given that there are so many people now who do not trust the press necessarily, when Trump goes after them, frankly, they're probably, you know, well, probably most Trump supporters are there saying, let them have it. They are crooked.
I'm sure. And I'm sure that President Trump himself during the campaign helped foster a lot of those feelings. Now, maybe those feelings were already there or have been growing for a long time. But if there was smoke, he helped stoke that fire really well over the last 18 months. And I would agree that there is a much more partisan media now because there's so much media. It's not three networks and a couple of news services anymore. There's a blog or a website for every single thing. The White House is allowing them all in, let's face it. So there's very partisan people on both sides. And President Trump is picking his favorites and really calling them out. Now, I'll agree, I'm sure President Obama wasn't calling on Fox News all the time when they were in those press conferences. But President Trump is like calling on people or tweeting about CNN and MSNBC are awful, awful, awful. Fox News and Friends is really, I mean, he's picking his favorites and letting everybody know, and he's got no shame about it. That's for sure.
Well, and what's funny is he might actually be helping CNN by criticizing them so much, because the people who are not on the Trump bandwagon might think, hey, if he doesn't like CNN, maybe there's something to the reporting they're doing.
Well, it's really going to be interesting. The New York Times, he keeps calling the failing New York Times, but they'll tell you their numbers are growing by leaps and bounds. I mean, look what happened to the ACLU when he issued the travel ban. They got millions of dollars in donations in one weekend, more than they get in about 10 years combined. So, yes, the opposition to Trump has certainly has its time in the sun and their time to make hay. And, Katie Turi, the reporter, right, is the reporter from MSNBC who got such heat from Trump all throughout the campaign. Now she's hosting a show on MSNBC. This is as awful as it was for her. It's been a huge boon to her career as well. So there's a whole subset of the world going on based around this presidency. It's like when if Ford decided to move its plant to another town and all the little subsidiaries decided to move with it because the business is there. There's a whole economy around this presidency that's quite amazing. Let's take a quick break. When we get back, I want to ask Professor McCall a little bit more about that freewheeling Thursday press conference that we've been talking about and some of the ways he answered the questions and why does he not do it differently? Because I feel like President Trump could just stop so much of this conversation in its tracks if he had a good media manager. But is that part of the plan not to have a media manager and let the media feed on the frenzy of the way he answers the questions and distract from maybe some of the other issues that he doesn't want to talk so much about? Matt Bubala with you here, 720 WGN. It's the Matt Bubala Show on 720 WGN. We're speaking with Professor Jeffrey McCall. He's a professor of media studies at DePauw University. You can follow him on Twitter at prof_McCall, M-C-C-A-L-L. So during that Thursday press conference, that wide-ranging, crazy press conference, a couple of things were really interesting to me. There was a gentleman, a Jewish gentleman with the yarmulke on and everything, who was asking him a question about, and it's so interesting, is President Trump's calling on the different people, and he says, you'll ask a friendly question? Sir, I've been very fair to you. Okay, we'll see, watch this. And then he started into a question about the rise of anti-Semitism in the country since he took office. And he started by saying, sir, I know of no personal friends who say that you are anti-Semitic. However, here's what's been going on in the country. And President Trump stops him in his tracks, tells him to sit down. I know. He says it's going to be a simple and easy question, which the guy never said. He just said, I've been fair to you. I don't think he ever said it'll be a simple and easy question. And then he goes on about how upset he is about this question. And it's, I'm the least anti-Semitic guy you ever know. I'm the least racist guy you would ever know. He never addresses the question. He gets offended at the question and then just twists things around. And I thought, I was surprised at how he, sit down. I know what you're asking. He really manhandled him a little bit. When you see something like that, are you cringing like, oh, gosh, you don't need all this extra baggage that you're bringing on yourself when you do this? Or do you think he knows exactly what he's doing and he's going to treat the press like that and just answer the question however he wants every time? I mean, there were several times people were like, how about just this? Can you just answer yes or no? Can you just answer yes or no? And he wouldn't do it. He would say, I've answered this question so many times. You keep asking it. It's a silly question. You know, he just really, is that all just part of a plan, or is he so freewheeling that it's just uncontrollable? Do you think the aides are cringing or like, yep, he knows what he's doing. He's playing the media.
Well, I must say I'm not a real huge fan of media yes or no questions, because a lot of yes or no questions really need to be nuanced. So, I mean, I'm a little sympathetic to Trump when people try to, like, pin yes or no. But I would say this. some of his supporters are saying, well, Trump is crazy like a fox, and he's managing all this just right, and that his handlers have sent him out to do this in kind of a strategic fashion. But when I look at the off-the-cuff remarks that he makes in press conferences, I tend to think at times he's untethered. And I'm not sure that he's crazy like a fox. It might be accomplishing his goal in kind of a macro sense. But in a micro sense, a lot of times I think he's just not very good off the cuff. And to a certain extent, we saw that during the debates, as we talked about last fall, that he's just not really good off the cuff with topics that come out of nowhere. And you noticed he had a pretty big briefing binder yesterday on Thursday when he was talking about some of the questions that you could tell he was, you know, checking his notes and checking his briefing materials. And you could tell when he had more scripted answers as opposed to where he's going off the cuff. And I think, frankly, he needs more media coaching, but it may be impossible to coach him. You know, his handlers behind the scenes, they may take him in the room and say, don't say this, please say this, let's coach you, let's prepare for these remarks. But we know that from last fall that he did very little debate preparation, and there were times when that showed. And frankly, I think in terms of freewheeling kinds of press conferences, Trump would be better served to send Mike Pence out, because Mike Pence is much more measured, much more cordial and respectful, and even when he disagrees, he's not going to try to tell people to sit down or, you know, that's a crazy question or that sort of thing. So I think probably the administration would benefit from more Pence and less Trump in these freewheeling kinds of situations.
Could you imagine if you were on his team and you suggested that, if you were in a meeting room with him and you say, you know what, President Trump, here's what I think we should do. Next freewheeling, that's not your area. Let's let Mike Pence do it. He's more respectful. He's this and that. He would fire you on the spot. You would be out of there. You wouldn't even get your things. Like, literally, it'd be like a movie where two guys are like, one, two, three, hoisting and throwing you out on the lawn, because I can't imagine he takes that.
I'm saying I think that would be a good idea. I'm not saying
understand.
It would ever actually work.
I know you would actually say
this,
that.
Though, when you watch him answer to some of these questions, it just looks so much like The Apprentice that he hosted for any number of years, where he tells somebody off and fires them, and then they dutifully have to get up and leave.
Oh, he just
dismisses
these guys.
And I think Trump hasn't figured out that you can, quote-unquote, fire the reporter who asked you a question, but they don't answer to you, and they're not going to leave, and they're going to show up at the next time, and they're going to try to report again, and that you don't end stories like you end, the reality TV show concocted plots in The Apprentice.
Or anything in his business. I mean, even we take The Apprentice out of it, in his everyday business, he's the CEO. Clearly, everybody answers to him. He's the boss, and when he wants something, he's going to get it, right? And it's been a very, I think, tough adjustment for President Trump with the travel ban being knocked down. You saw the way he reacted to that. So-called judges, how do they dare tell? I mean, it seemed a little stunned by how this actually works and that you don't get to just do exactly what you want. That seemed a little surprising to him. But
yeah, as a rhetorician, he's not all that skilled. And here we are out here in the Midwest trying to give him advice. But if I were to give him advice, I would say, sure, you're upset by the judge's decision, and sure, you don't respect the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. There are rhetorically more diplomatic ways to express that without coming off sounding like you're breaking glass.
That's the thing that I don't understand with President Trump, because I'm guessing that all he would say to anything you and I are saying to him is he'd go, who's the president? Who just got elected? My way worked.
Right.
And it's a legit answer. My way worked. I was freewheeling in the debates. So what? I won. It all worked out, and I'm here. And I'm here because I was me. And that would be his answer, I think, to everything. So he's going to say, hey, so I'm going to go about being me. And
well,
while you and I would say, hey, you know, you could pull people, because where he does, I think where he doesn't see how this hurts him is that it fosters up all these people rising up to be against him. He could get a lot of his stuff done, maybe, if he made people a little more willing to go along, if we actually focused on the issue. Immigration is an issue. People are illegally coming in, right? I think there could be a legitimate discussion from both sides of the parties on, hey, what do we do about this? Maybe this shouldn't be happening. Maybe we should have a better process. But starting out calling everybody rapists and murderers and the way he that brash way he likes to do things helps rise up the people who are going to be against them and unify them. And he's creating more problems for himself. And I don't think he realizes that or doesn't care. I'm not sure which.
Well, and, you know, again, running a campaign is different than trying to run a government. Now, I mean, as you said, he would look at us and say, look, I won, it has worked. But he's only 4 weeks into his administration, And by some of the bold proclamations he's made and some of the outbursts he's had, he probably does stir up people who want to, like, get to the streets. And not that they are going to lose their principles just because he's more diplomatic in his rhetoric, but I think it makes the tone of the dialogue on our national stage less harsh. And if the demonstrators or the Democrats in Congress who wish him ill want to raise the temperature and, you know, do tough talk and rabble rouse, I think Trump can actually put himself in a position where he becomes, you know, the adult in the room if he tries to be more diplomatic and more, I dare say, presidential. And again, I know it has worked to this point, but he's got 4 years to do this, and he only ran a campaign for 16 months.
Yeah, it'll be I think once he really has to start working with Congress and trying to get things done, I mean, he's got really 2 years to get done whatever he can get done for sure, right? Because he's got control of the House and the Senate. And it'll be interesting to see how well they all work with him, because he's ticked off his own party too. McCain's been up against him at points, and other people have been upset by him. So it'll be very interesting to see how well they can stick together and do the things that he wants to do, and how much he'll be willing to compromise on the things that Paul Ryan wants to do or other people that have some power, because he's got 2 years, and then maybe he'll lose control. Maybe he won't. Maybe he'll gain control. It'll keep working for him. But it's going to be fascinating to see how that all works, and if he can keep up this pace and the craziness that's surrounding. But let me ask you, when you watch all this, because some of what he says, of course, there's things that just aren't facts that he's saying. And everybody's like, wait a minute, that's just blatantly not true. But then there's other things he says that you can't define as a fact or not. And so you wonder, okay, everything seems like it's not that, but does he really just believe it? For example, at this press conference, he's saying how smoothly everything's running in the White House, how great everything's going, that there's no chaos, there's no tumult, it's a fine running machine. You know, when he's had to fire a guy and somebody withdrew and other people aren't accepting nominations, in his mind, is it all running great and it's fine? Or is it everybody around him's telling him it's all great and it's fine? Or is it kind of like this is a weird analogy, but kind of an OJ situation where I think some of us think that OJ really believes he didn't do this. He just told himself that so much, or blacked that out, or whatever, that there's sometimes when people tell you things so much, you're like, that's not true, but you really believe that, don't you?
I think Trump's one of those guys who just takes no prisoners, and no matter how bad things would look, would continue to tell us things were fine. I've got to believe somewhere behind the scenes there's some reality that everything is not perfect, and I think it would be okay for him to acknowledge, hey, you know, we're having a little shakedown cruise, and there are a few bumps in the road, but overall, I'm pleased with how are things going. I mean, when he continues to go out and say everything is perfect, when just even casual observers can observe that there have been bumps in the road. I mean, you lost your national security advisor, for one thing. You come off looking a little bit like Baghdad Bob, and that doesn't help the president in terms of his stature or his ability to lead.
That's another crazy story. So they fire this guy. He says because he lied to Pence, but I would have been telling him to do these things. If he wasn't doing them, I would have told him to do them. And that's not the story. The story is that you guys are leaking it. And so that's just so amazing that it's like, okay, is that what you really believe, or is this just your way of keeping us befuddled while we don't talk about the fact that this guy was talking to Russia and what was actually happening?
Right. Trump can turn on a heel. And the thing is, though, he makes it work. The media go along, and the media have talked, you know, for ever since the press conference about his treatment of the media. And you watch Good Morning America the day after the press conference. They're talking about Trump's treatment of the media. And the deal with the Russians and, you know, the national security guy leaving and all that kind of stuff is minimized in the agenda.
Back.
I'm not saying it's not there at all. But I must say one of the most fascinating things in the Thursday press conference, I thought, was when he was talking about the prospect of blowing up a Russian spy ship. And, you know, you would just think, you know, just separately, you'd look at that and think that was a really wild point to try to make. And he did it inartfully. But that really didn't get as much press coverage as I figured it would when I first heard him say it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is there's so much that you're right. Things just get overlooked because you can't keep up. And there's a wear down factor, and he's playing it really well.
Yeah, and then to kind of get back to where we were talking when we first started chatting, is that when the press keeps the focus on Trump and media relations, it makes it harder to get the agenda furthered and the discussion moved along. And if I were the press and you know, I were running CNN or someplace like that, I would just say, we're not going to talk about Trump and media relations anymore. We're going to talk about Trump and Congress, Trump and international affairs, Trump and the economy, and just move ahead.
Yeah, because they're playing into his hand there when they keep talking about that. He's making it a story, there's no doubt. But there's so much media that could be talking about that. CNN and MSNBC and Fox News. And I'll give credit to Shepard Smith, who after that press conference really tore into President Trump a little bit. And I know there's an outlier on every network, and I don't know where Shepard Smith really stands politically. I don't care to know. He's a reporter, and I expect him to report, although I tend to believe anything on Fox News I'm going to take with a grain of salt. I will say I believe the same thing about MSNBC, each side and the other. But I thought it was very interesting that Shepard Smith called him out on, hey, these are legitimate questions that need to be answered. Quit belittling the media for asking them. But again, that's playing into, you know, what he's trying to do, maybe, and just get them to talk about that instead.
You're quite right.
Professor Jeffrey McCall does media studies at DePauw University. You can follow him on Twitter at @prof_McCall. @prof_McCall. We're still going to work on that new Twitter. We need a new Twitter handle for you.
Okay.
It's very difficult. As a professor of media studies, you should know that you can't make it difficult on your followers to get that. @prof_McCall. All right, Professor McCall, we will talk to you soon, I'm sure. Thank you so much, as always.
You're welcome.
Could be a new segment on the show. We advise President Trump each week on how to handle a certain situation in the media. Sir, the media here is here to help you. Let us help you help yourself. He'd say, nope, I'm doing it bigly. I'm all good. Matt Bubala with you, 720 WGN.